Welcome to Becoming Like Jesus, a podcast from Pure Heart Church, where we explore what it means to become like Jesus through the messy, imperfect stories of real life and real people. I'm your host, Chantel Hinnan, and I'm so happy to be here with you today, continuing our conversation about how we connect with God. And today we're jumping into the topic of prayer. We will be talking with Pastor Paul Covert and Pastor Rachel Kekik. It's a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Let's dive in. I am here with Pastor Paul and Pastor Rachel. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
How are you? I'm great. Thank you guys for being here. Why don't we get started by you guys just introducing yourselves?
Ladies first.
Oh, well, thank you. I am Pastor Rachel, and I am the lead pastor of Connect, but my number one favorite thing is just loving people.
I'm Pastor Paul, and Rachel's my boss, so I have to be on best behavior today. And I'm the pastor of prayer development here at Pure Heart. So I lead the flag and carry the flag for prayer in different ways. So that's what I do.
How long have you been doing prayer ministry, Paul?
Yeah, I'm probably in my, 18th, 19th year, something like that.
Wow. That's exciting. So, because that's what we're talking about today. So I'm really excited. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been diving into this idea of how important it is for us as believers, how fundamental it is for us to be with Jesus and spend time with him. And so we talked about reading scripture. This week, we're talking about prayer. We're going to talk about worship as well. And so lots of different pieces of that. And so today, I want to dive into first, let's just start by talking about what is prayer.
Well, for me, prayer is just the language of my heart. It's what's inside, way down deep, that comes out as I pray. And so there's nothing, you know, no special words, no different voice. It's just what's inside my heart that I just take to God. That's what prayer is for me.
Yeah, just talking with God.
Yeah, it's just being able to have a personal relationship with your best friend and talking with him at any time you want to, and to be able to pray and that's what we do. It's our personal connection with him.
That's so cool because I think for a long time, I struggled with prayer because it felt so almost foreign. Like it felt different than me just talking with Rachel, you know, sitting over a cup of coffee and having a conversation with her as somebody who And then over the last few years, my life has kind of shifted a lot and I've learned a lot about prayer and stepped into different things. And now it feels like what you just said, like just get to talk with my best friend. And it kind of demystified it for me because it felt so like this big thing that I had to be, you know, intentional time and separate and all of these added on things. And now I got kind of down to the bottom line is it's being with Jesus and connecting with him and talking with him. So I love that. Why do we pray?
Well, there's, I think, lots of reasons to pray. One is because it purifies us. It purifies our hearts. So sometimes I'll pray about something and really want God to do something and he doesn't do that particular thing for whatever reason. And so prayer purifies my motives. It purifies my dreams, my wishes, you know, that kind of thing. I think we also pray because prayer, God in some crazy way, and it's so mysterious to me, Chantel, it really is. God in some crazy way has limited himself in some fashion to the prayers of his people. And so there are certain things that will not be done unless we pray. And so prayer is our way of partnering with God to accomplish his work here in his kingdom on earth. And the scripture I always go to is Psalm 2:8, which says, call to me and I will give you the nations. And the idea is if you pray, if you call to me, then this is what I'll do. And if you don't call, obviously, then that's not going to happen. So it's a way for us to partner with God in his work here on earth.
I love that. How do we balance that? I think something that I've really struggled with, and this is something that I've been processing with God personally a lot, is asking for something and then not getting what I thought I wanted. And is there a point where I stop asking? Is there a point, do I stop? Does it change? Do I do it a different way? Am I going to change God's mind? How do we do that?
You want to jump in on that one, Rachel?
I'll jump into that one. For me personally, and what I've learned is as I've continued to be praying for specific things, whether it's for myself or for someone else, and I haven't seen God move in that area, in the beginning, I'd be like, why? I don't get it. You know, scripture says, you know, we pray and we receive, right? Well, sometimes it's not his will. And so what I've learned is I've continued to watch where God's moving. And I'm like, oh, that's not exactly what I prayed for. But wait, that is. But that's not how I thought he was going to answer that prayer. And so for me personally, it's always reminding myself, well, this is my prayer. Oh, hold on. This is how he answered. And so I remember both, because that continues to give encouragement and promises that he's given me to continue to pray in the future. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, and I would say that, you know, I have three boys. They're all grown now. But when they were little, I mean, they asked me for something pretty much every second of the day. Dad, can we have an airplane? Dad, would you buy us a boat? Dad, would you, you know, just all kinds of crazy things. And, you know, sometimes I was able to give them what they requested and sometimes I wasn't. We have this tendency to see prayer as God answers prayer, yes, no, or wait. And that just drives me absolutely out of my ever-loving mind, because I believe God answers our prayer yes every time. I believe that. Hmm. However, it doesn't always look like we think it's going to look. Hmm. So we may be praying for something and God says, yeah, I'm going to meet you there in that, but I'm going to do it this way. And so it looks differently, but his answer to us was, yes, I heard you, and yes, I'm going to move. I use this illustration a lot. I think of, you know, let's say I need transportation. I'm a guy. And so when I think of transportation, I think of a Corvette or a Maserati or something like that. And, you know, what I get is a bus pass. And so I look up at God and go, wait a minute, you didn't answer my prayer. No, he did. It just, you know, he knows I couldn't pay the insurance on a Maserati anyway. And he gives me what I need. But it doesn't always look like what I hoped it would look like, or even what I thought it would look like. And so we need to get our expectations, you know, when we give something to God, we give it to him and then let him fulfill it in a way that isn't our picture, but it is his picture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a helpful way to think about it. I love, before you said something about it purifying our hearts. And I think the shift that's happened in my own life is that I used to approach prayer and think it was something about like trying to get something. Like, we ask God for things and we should. But if my primary goal is to get something from God rather than communion with God, I'm probably got it out of order. And God's gracious to me in that. But sometimes I'll be asking him for something and what he says is actually what you need is to be with me. And so it's the shift. So I'm not going to give you what you want explicitly. Because what you don't know what you want is that actually this is, I'm going to sustain you in this, especially with, you know, we think about struggles or that sort of thing. I think that God sometimes encourages us to be with him in that and doesn't always change our circumstances.
Yeah. When I was younger, and we'll probably get to this down the road, but when I was younger, I started recording my prayers. When I would pray something, I would write it down. And then I would go back to it, you know, a month later, 2 months later, and just see all the answers to prayer. And they were literally, you know, answer after answer after answer. And finally, I started looking at other people. This shows you how my sinfulness. I was looking at other people going, how come people don't see this? You know, and I actually got prayer wrong for a long time, which is why I wanted to respond to you. I remember praying about, we had this couch at our house. And it was a hand-me-down couch that was given to us by somebody else. And my wife is like the kindest person in the whole world. But she came to me one day and she said, hey, could we get a different couch? That one stinks. And I'm like, yeah, honey, let's see if we can do it. So I started praying about it. And in you know, a period of time, all of a sudden we had some money we weren't expecting. And I got a couch. And we got a couch. And then, you know, the neighbor down the street got a television set. This is years ago that had a remote control. So we didn't have to jump up and down all the time and change the TV. And I thought, God, I want a color TV with a remote. And eventually one of those came too. And for a while I thought, man, this really works. God really answers prayer. And I started kind of rubbing my hands together like a genie. That's what you were talking about. And eventually I got to the place where I didn't want something from God. I wanted his presence. And that's when prayer really changed for me. When I stopped wanting something, I still have wants. And you mentioned, should we keep praying? Yeah, there are things I've been praying about for a long time. But what is most valuable to me is not getting a certain thing, but just having his presence in my life.
It's not what is he going to do for me, but actually just being with him.
Yeah, Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit in your guys' lives. How has prayer changed over time? And you started talking about that, Paul. I would love to hear from you, Rachel. How has kind of prayer evolved over time for you?
So for me, prayer in the very beginning was really tough. I could not sit for a minute and almost seemed like I had nothing else to say, or I didn't know what to say. I didn't understand, scripture at the time, but I knew praying was something I was supposed to do. And so in the beginning, it was just difficult. I was distracted, and I just stop, and I just walk away. And God just continued to press on me, be in moments with me, give me more time, sit with me. If you don't have anything to say, don't. Just listen. And so I started in my prayer times listening, because I didn't know how to pray. I wasn't taught or didn't have anybody with me. And so I started really looking at scripture, and scripture really helped me learn how to pray and about the things that God was showing me to pray for through scripture. So we have in Ephesians 6:18, pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. That's a huge 30,000-foot type of moment, but I was like, oh, okay, pray for his people. Okay, and then I just started jotting things down, and he just started really developing me that way through his scripture. And then the last one, of course, you always have this this moment where you're like praying for all the good people, and God's like, well, what about those that you don't get along with? Or what about those that, I'm like, what are you talking about? I have to pray for them? Oh, yes, Matthew 6:7 says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And so that was like another learning. And so that's what scripture did. It continued to enrich my time with him because I was praying for those things through scripture that he was calling me to pray.
You know, I'm the prayer pastor, and so you would think that I was this guy who just loved prayer ever since I was a little kid, but that's really not the case. I was really skeptical of prayer. In Bible college, our professors always said, hey, you need to pray. And I never had time to pray in Bible college. I was working three jobs and trying to make the payments and that kind of stuff. And so when I graduated from college, I decided in the very first month of my ministry that I would not pray about anything. And so for the first 30 days, I didn't pray about anything. I just did ministry. So I didn't pray about, sermons or youth groups or anything. And then in the next 30 days, I prayed about those things for 30 days. I wanted to see the difference between prayer-backed life and personality-backed life. In other words, doing it on your own strength or inviting God into it. And what I determined, and I could talk about this for a long time, but I won't. What I determined is that prayer-backed ministry and prayer-backed life is roughly, in my estimation, 10 times more effective than just doing it on your own. And so at that point, I thought, wow, this is incredible. So I started recording my prayers. And at this point, Chantel, I've been recording my prayers now for 35 or 40 years and just watching God move. And I think what happens to us is we pray about something, then we move on, we forget, and we don't thank God for what he's done, and we don't celebrate his movement in our lives. And so for me, this has been an evolving thing where I've learned to record and keep track and watch, and it's just been fun.
Yeah. Rachel, you mentioned something, and then Paul, you've hinted at it too. You guys kind of, Rachel, you're talking about hearing God and listening, and I think it's so interesting. I actually had some really key voices in my life when I was young in the faith. I'm still young, but but really starting out with my relationship with Jesus, that kind of almost told me that like God's word is God's word and God doesn't speak. And it like really impacted me. And that was really hard for me to overcome because all of a sudden it felt like God was speaking and asking me to take some steps of faith. And I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to hear his voice. I didn't know how to discern it. And it was definitely connected to his word. And so how do you hear God? I think everybody kind of has a different experience with that. Can we talk about that?
Do you want to jump in, Rachel?
You go first.
Okay. Well, I'm a real doer. I wake up, I'm one of those guys that wakes up, 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm charging ahead and all that kind of stuff. So stopping and listening is really hard for me. So the only way I can do it is I just take my phone and I set my timer for 10 minutes. And I just say, okay, God, here's 10 minutes. Would you speak to me in these next 10 minutes? And then what's really important for me is I just write down everything that comes to my mind. And sometimes I'll get stupid things like, you know, you need to change the oil. And obviously, God's not really speaking to me about changing the oil. But other times I'll get things like, you know, you really weren't patient enough with your wife this morning in that conversation. You need to go back and apologize to her. And it's pretty easy after you write them all down to go, oh, that one's from the Lord, and these are just things that are running through my mind. So that's how I listen to the Lord, is I just set a time, set my timer, and sometimes I want to get up before it's done. You know, like I'll be 7 minutes and I'm going, okay, that's long enough, you know, but it's that discipline to do that has been helpful for me.
That is the same with me. I have a hard time sitting still. And so it's the same type. I will actually give myself 5 minutes. I don't give 10, which is funny, but I do it in the morning and then I do it at night. So I just sit, and what's great is I've listened to what he's asking me for the day, and then I get to listen to, oh, was there something I missed, you know, type of thing. But I have a hard time. I have to sit still and actually say, sit here and actually do it, because otherwise I wouldn't, because we're all about doing and getting stuff done.
Yeah, have you guys found that spending that intentional time in silence and listening has shifted the way that you hear God throughout the day in moments?
Yeah, I don't know that it has for me. I mean, there have been so many times when I was just like walking from one building to another here at Pure Heart. And, you know, God just, not an audible voice in any way, but just in an impression went, here's what I want you to do next. And it didn't come necessarily in a time of listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just came. And so sometimes I get those things in that time of listening, and sometimes I just get them as I'm going through my life. I think the key to that is we have to make space in our day for God to speak to us. We have a tendency to have the radio on all the time, or we're watching a video, or we're talking to somebody, and there's no spot in the day for God to kind of break in. And so having just some spots through the day where we can just have some time where we're accessible to him. You know, mm-hmm. whether it's lunch or whatever it is. So.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's so good. We have so much noise in our culture, and the noise can even be good noise. You could just sit here and listen to all the podcasts, right? And you could never actually spend any time with Jesus and never hear God's voice. Like, that's possible. And so for us to open up to the content is good also. The pausing and the being intentional with time, I think I have noticed I'm a lot quicker to recognize that it's God's voice the more I spend that time intentionally separately.
Correct. For me, that's the same thing. In the morning, if I can see, if I don't take my time in the morning and I rush out the door, I am not open to hearing what he's trying to tell me throughout the day. But when I actually start out with him and then throughout my day, I'm like, I'm listening and I'm hearing. And I'm just more intentional on it because it's on my mind. I actually sat and gave him the time he deserves, and he's going to end up speaking to me throughout the day. So a little bit different for me.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think sometimes, you know, this is probably just being young and naive in some ways, but I think I will have thoughts and you know, in hindsight, I realize, oh my gosh, that was God. And in the moment I'm like, oh, Chantel, that was a cool thought, you know, da-da-da, you know, just keep on going, you know, and, or, oh yeah, I had a good idea there. And I'm like looking back and I'm like, that wasn't me. Why would I have done that? You know, like, I had no plan. I was focused on this. There's no way that came from me. That's not, you know, that's gotta be God. So I think, recognizing in the moment of like, oh, God was guiding me there and I didn't even realize it, you know, which is so cool. So you talked, you guys both talked about scripture a bit. How do prayer and scripture kind of coincide and go together?
Yeah, I think our Bible reading should fund our prayer time. Yep. So what I mean by that is, if you're reading a passage, you know, I was in Mark today, early this morning, I was reading the end of Mark. And so I look for something in there, in my Bible reading, that I feel like God wants me to pray about. So for example, yesterday I was reading, and the scripture talks about, if you give even a cup of cool water in my name, you will not lose your reward. And I just started pondering that a little bit, like, wait a minute, even if I give something so small as a cup of water, The scripture says, I won't lose my reward. Now, we're not saved by doing stuff, but God notices even those little tiny things that we do throughout the day. And so then, you see, there's the thought, and now the prayer time. God, how can I give cool water today to as many people as I run into? So that's how prayer works for me. I read it, look for something, and then see how I can apply it in prayer as I pray and as I apply it to my life. Is it different for you? Or?
No, it's the same. I mean, I end up using scripture to really pray, and he speaks through us through scripture. So we get more of a richness of that scripture, and then we're also praying over. Like I was reading in Matthew's, you know, about, you know, pagans, they, you know, babble all around. And he's like, well, hold on. They're talking many words, but is it for something good? You know, and, you know, you stop. I'm like, oh, is that for me? Okay, Lord, if that's for me, then help me, you know, with not having so many words or being praying to whatever that is, help me with that. So that's definitely, you know, scripture really helps you be able to analyze and look at things and to be able to pray for things at such a richer, deeper level. It really is.
I sometimes say that I like to run my life through the sieve of the scripture. Mm. You know, and what that does and what prayer does is it removes some of the impurities that we don't see just automatically.
Yeah, that's good. I think as I have studied God's word more and know, especially like looking at the gospels and the life of Jesus, but just all of God's word, the more I know it, again, the more I more clearly can recognize when God's speaking to me because I know it. I know his voice in a different way, you know?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's one thing to know about Jesus. It's another thing to know him, and that's the goal of prayer.
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah, it's one thing to know about Jesus. It's another thing to actually know him. And a part of that comes from our time in prayer and, of course, in the word.
Absolutely. Now, why is prayer even more important or just as important during this season that we find ourselves in? So this is going to release right in the middle of a lot of us are shelter in place. How does prayer fit into life right now?
For me right now is I'm a people person. I'm missing everyone tremendously, missing the hugs, just missing the time to be with everybody. And so for me, being lonely in this time, prayer has really been a healing time for me because I can be extremely close with Jesus and I can continue to pray and just pour into him about how I'm feeling and what I'm feeling. And he's wrapping his arms around me. And in prayer, I'm actually physically with him and I get to feel him and I get to feel his love and his compassion and his grace. And then he's filling me up with joy and he's filling up promises of this is not forever. This is only a short time. And so for me personally, it's just really helping with that loneliness.
Mm. Yeah. And I would say that in times like this, prayer is, we have more prayer time because we're not as busy, you know? And so there's also more time to think. And so people are more anxious and people are more lonely and people are more depressed and people are more all of those things. And the antidote for many of those things is just being with Jesus. As we pray, he begins to heal some of those spots that would never get healed if the virus wasn't here and if we weren't, you know, kind of confined. And he begins to touch us in places. You know, this virus is kind of an amplifier that amplifies some of the things that are already inside of us so that God can point them out to us and so he can heal us as we come to him in prayer.
Yep. And the other side of prayer too is he's also showing you all the blessings that he is giving you and to keep our eyes open to see what he is actually doing in our lives, you know, and not to be anxious about all things, but be, you know, grateful and, you know, thanksgiving to him in prayer. And when we do that, we actually allow ourselves to see the goodness and not what the enemy's trying to keep us in bondage over.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, one of the things that we talk a lot about at Pure Heart and we've been talking a lot about on the podcast is emotional health. And I think it's so interesting to me when we're talking about prayer because I think they actually fit really well together, even though we sometimes maybe don't think of that right away. How do emotions and what we're feeling, you guys talked about depression and anxiety or loneliness, how do we not deny those things but actually meet with God in prayer? in those areas?
Wow, that's a good question.
That is a good question. Yeah. Paul, how are you doing over there?
Thanks, Rachel. Yeah, thanks for I'll throw you the softball and you send me the fastball, will you? You know, we all have emotional struggles of one kind or another. And for me, let's say it's let's say it's depression. Maybe I'm having a moment of depression or a period of time of depression. What I do with those things is I like to take that depression and put it in a box, almost like a Christmas present in my mind. And then I present it to Jesus as a sacrifice and say, God, here's something that I don't have a way to deal with this exactly. I don't have a manual for this. But I know that if I present it to you specialize in giving me beauty for my ashes. So here are my ashes, and would you restore me in this area that I'm struggling in? And so I like to do that, and I also just love to think about God's promises that help as well. So like his grace is, you know, one of my favorite places to eat when we get to go out to eat is Red Robin, because they have bottomless fries. And I love their sweet potato fries. And so I think of God's grace, and just when I stop and think about it being bottomless, you know, there's no end to his grace. So taking those promises and tying them together with our sacrifice of here's what we're struggling with and giving it to him is how I handle loneliness and depression and disappointment and, you know, those kinds of things in a practical way.
I love the, you know, the present analogy, Paul. That's kind of sweet, because normally when you're like, you're giving a present, it's you're excited to give it to someone, but this is something that you can, it's not really exciting for you. So when you're giving it to Jesus to take, you're excited because you know he's going to, and he's going to do something with it, and he's going to help you. I love that. Gosh, see, we can learn something new every day.
Yeah, I love that. I think something that I've experienced is my go-to is to kind of just push through the emotions and pretend like they're not there, especially the negative ones. I just like, right? I don't know. How's everybody else doing? You know, that's kind of my default. And what I've found is when I do that, I actually, it's really hard for me to be with Jesus when I do that. If I'm not acknowledging what's actually going on inside of me, that time that I go to prayer, it feels like a disconnect. Yeah. And so doing what you're saying, it starts with like acknowledging it, yeah. And then you get to give it over. Yeah. And that doesn't mean it always goes away right away.
Yeah, I think of David, you know, in the Psalm where he says, where he's so depressed and so down, and it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I picture him doing what we've been talking about, which is taking up these things that were so weighing on his soul and just handing them to Jesus as a present or as a sacrifice, and saying, God, here, you take these and give me what you have instead. So
that's good. When you were talking, Chantel, you know, people like to stuff things and that whole lens. So it's almost like wearing, you know, your glasses, and then they turn into sunglasses. Well, that's your view, and that's how you're able to see God. The more that you stuff, the darker and darker your lens becomes, and it keeps you at a distance from the Lord. Mm. And
You
can't see clearly, and you're not able to, because we're stuffing it. We're not giving it to him.
Yeah, and I think I've often even told God, like, hey, can you go fix that for me? Like, I know that that's back there. Okay, I'm going to pray about it really quick. Thanks. And in actuality, he's like, hey, you got to go there with me, though. Like, I'm not just going to go do all the, like, I'm here with you, and let's do the work together. Together, though. I'm not a genie, right, to go fix your problems. This is about communion. This is about being together. And so part of that is experiencing the emotion that you're feeling, and then let's do something with that. What do we do when prayer is difficult, when it feels like we can't connect with God?
You want to go, or you want me to?
Well, that's kind of funny. So I'll do personally, this is all personal. What's funny about that is, you know, there's times in my day or a couple of days that I'm having a difficult time in prayer. It's because of what's happening, whatever I'm feeling, things that that I'm going through. And what's interesting is any time that I'm sitting there and I'm in prayer and I'm just not focused, I'm distracted, I have anxiety, whatever the reason being, I have to end up finding different ways to release what my mind is going through. So I'll just pop in a worship music and just sing a song. And then I'll go back into prayer. Or I'll open the Bible and go, okay, I'm going to go to, I have a few go-to scriptures that I'll go in and I'll just read and I'll read again. Okay, now let's go back into prayer. And I have to do that to be able to distract what the enemy's trying to burden me with, to be able to really be in relationship with Jesus.
And I would say that a little bit different from where you're going, Rachel. I think one of the reasons that our prayer times get stale is because we do the same thing time after time after time after time. And sometimes I wonder if God doesn't get sick of, you know, our same prayers all the time. And so one of the things that's really been helpful for me is to come up with a variety of ways to pray. And so when I'm having trouble praying one way, it's a symbol for me, okay, I need to try a different, it's time for some variety. And so, yeah, I've had a lot of fun through the years coming up with different ways to pray and kind of leading it, you know, helping people come up with different ways to connect with God. So,
Paul, did you write a book about 52 ways to pray?
Yes,
you did, didn't you?
Yes.
It's an exceptional read. You have.
Well, I wasn't going to actually mention the book, Rachel. So what? Thank you for that.
Okay, you're welcome.
We'll put that in the show notes too, so everybody can find it. Can you order it online?
You can. Okay. It's on Amazon.
On Amazon, perfect. Yeah. I'll link it in there, and then once we're back in the church building, people can actually pick it up right in the lobby.
Yeah, we have some in the lobby. Yeah.
Awesome.
Sure do.
So with that, I think about the person who's like just starting this journey, or even the person who's been walking with Jesus for a while, but like, you know, you mentioned having more time. I think I was just talking with my friend last night, and she is a mom of two toddlers, and she works full time, and her husband works full time. So this season has actually turned into like having no time, because she feels like she has like three full time jobs all at once. And so the person who maybe doesn't have a lot of time or is just getting started, both of those people, and maybe they're two different groups, what is a practical way that they can just start tomorrow or today?
Well, I would say, first of all, you know, we have a tendency when we jump into something, we kind of dive in all the way, and that's a recipe for failure when it comes to prayer, I think. And what I mean by that is some people will say, you know, I listened to this podcast today, and I'm going to start praying, and I'm going to start praying, you know, an hour a day, or I'm going to start praying 30 minutes a day. And that's just a recipe for disaster. And so I think be realistic. You know, if you're brand new at this and you don't have in much background, you know, maybe 3 minutes is good for you, you know? And so I would encourage you to pick a realistic goal. I'm going to try to pray for 3 minutes. I think it should have some listening in it, like Rachel talked about. And I would encourage people to write down their prayers, not every word, but, you know, God, I'm praying about, I need a job, or God, you know, the big rocks in your prayers, write down the date and the, you know, what you're praying about. And that way, when God answers those prayers, it is so encouraging. You can see, you know, especially if you don't tell anybody in the world about it. And all of a sudden, this answer comes out of nowhere, and you go, oh, God heard that, you know. And so those three things, you know, I would encourage people to start with a realistic time, to record some things so that they can do it and get some variety in there, and I think they'll be good to go.
Yeah. Last question. How do we, you know, you guys both talked about, silence the morning and the evening and spending time in prayer intentionally. And you said just starting slowly, right? Like don't go, you know, that's me. I jump in all the way. I'm going to start something new and I'm going to do it the best way for the whole week. And it is a disaster, like you said. How do we though refrain from prayer just becoming almost like a bookend? So I start my day with Jesus and then I go about my day and I don't even think about him until I go to bed at night. How does it become an ongoing conversation?
For me, I just know I have to continue to, throughout the day, talk to him. Because scripture says he's listening. You know, call him by his name, he's listening. And so for me, it's like walking through, and if I have something going, all right, God, what would you do? And it's reminding myself to always continue to do that for me.
Yeah, for me, it's setting reminders. Physical reminders that remind me to pray. So that could be my football number in high school. A lot of times I'll be driving down the road and I'll see a license plate and it has that number on it. And I go, oh, and it reminds me to check in with God. Or, you know, sometimes I'll put a you know, something on the mirror, you know, that to remind me, or something on my phone. You know, my wife sets, you guys would love to hang around my wife. She has probably 10 alarms on her phone, and every one of them are to pray for somebody else, you know, pray for this person or pray for that person. So setting your phone alarms to remind you, just touch base with God, is a good way to do that. And you just start looking for spots where you can connect with them through the day. Let me just say one more thing about that. The other mistake I think people make is they say, okay, I'm gonna begin my Bible study every morning at 5 a.m., you know. And, you know, the first 3 days, that works out great, and they do their Bible study and they do their prayer. And then, you know, by the fourth day, they're so tired that they hit the snooze, and then it's done. And so I like to tell people to set an appointment with God, you know, at a realistic time, but to have a backup or even a couple of backups, so that if you miss the first one, you know, you're just too tired in the morning slot, you've got a noontime slot, or you've got an afternoon slot or whatever, so that you still connect with God. And if life happens, you know, this whole thing doesn't fall apart. And so I like to encourage people to have more than one spot that they kind of set aside for God in a day.
When I first became a Christian many years ago, I would actually use stickies. And so every morning I'd have a sticky where I would end up getting ready, and it said, "Good morning, Lord." And every time I'd read, I'm like, "Good morning, Lord. Lord, how are you?" And it would just have a conversation. I ended up at work in my little cubby. I had this little spot where I'd end up putting all of my personal things, and I put a sticky in there. And that one was, "Thank you, Lord, for," had a question mark. And so I'd thank him in that moment for something. So I just started doing the sticky notes because it was for me, that was really good because I was so busy. And just same thing works for you too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also encouraging people to put together a gratitude list where they're just, you know, writing down every day two or three things they're thankful for or they appreciate. Because we get really snarly and self-focused, and a gratitude list is a great thing. And I like to go back and read it every now and then and just rejoice.
Yeah, that's so good for us, isn't it? I know it's good for me when I do that. I love that you guys both said, like, almost little interruptions, like putting little interruptions, because that's what it feels like to me. Sometimes when I'm in the speed of the day, I'm like full force ahead, get things done, focused. And somehow in that, I sometimes end up missing the presence of God. And so just like a moment to pause and say, "Oh, remember God's with you in this." Like, check in with him. Tell him how you're feeling. Ask him to continue to strengthen you throughout the day. And it's just like a interruption, but I almost have to interrupt myself because it's not the natural inclination for me at this point in time. my natural inclination is to keep doing, like you said, but to build those in. So anywhere that we didn't go that you guys, anything that you had in your brain?
Well, the one thing I like to talk about is, you know, for a Christian, not to pray is kind of like a Christian not breathing. I mean, we were designed to pray. And I know people who say, "Well, prayer is just not my thing." And if that's like saying, "Well, serving other people is just not my thing," or, you know, it's not an option. You know, it is a part of, it means what it means to walk with Jesus.
Putting gas in your car is not your thing.
Yeah.
You need that to drive your car.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people have, you know, been involved in maybe some prayer meetings that weren't good. You know, there's lots of bad prayer meetings out there. And just because you've been to some bad ones doesn't mean there aren't some great ones out there if you just look a little bit. So I just want to encourage people to not give up on prayer, because a believer who has given up on prayer, what's the difference between a believer who's given up on prayer and an atheist? And the answer is not much. You know, prayer is a part of what it means, the very fiber of a Christian. So I just want to challenge people to hang in there.
I love that. And God is so gracious. I've gone to God and said, "I'm really struggling to pray. And this is really hard for me. But I want to be with you. Like, my core desire is to be with you. And I know that this is an important part of that." And God will show up and meet you there. And it's okay to be honest about how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Pastor Paul and Pastor Rachel. My encouragement to you this week is to connect with God through prayer intentionally, and maybe to do it just one new thing this week that is different from your normal routine. I know we mentioned a lot of different resources today. I'll be sure to link those in the show notes. But one other resource for you, if you are listening during this COVID season that we find ourselves in, we have been doing on our Pure Heart Facebook page on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. You can join us for a live prayer event. So that is a great opportunity. Maybe that is your next step, to join us as we pray corporately, even though we're not together physically. Also, our weekend service from the previous weekend is played right after that, so you can stay on and connect with people that way as well. If you need anything from us, you can reach us at podcast@pureheart.org. Have a great week, family.